How will the dead be raised? What kind of bodies will they have? Is there life after death? If there is not, many would follow the maxim, eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we shall die. How are we to live our lives knowing that there is going to be a resurrection to the heavenly realm after we die? These are some of the questions that Paul raises in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. He likens our earthly body to a seed that is planted in the ground, and when the seed dies, a new seedling emerges from the seed. How should we then live? Join us as we look at these questions, life from the dead. Welcome to the Daily Audio Torah. Today is August 24th. Now let's continue our journey reading through the entire Bible in 1 year. This week we are reading from the New Living Translation for the Old Testament and for the New Testament. Deuteronomy 12:11-32. You must bring everything I command you, your burnt offerings, your sacrifices, your tithes, your sacred offerings, and your offerings to fulfill a vow to the designated place of worship, the place the Lord your God chooses for his name to be honored. You must celebrate there in the presence of the Lord your God with your sons and daughters and all your servants. And remember to include the Levites who live in your towns, for they will receive no allotment of land among you. Be careful not to sacrifice your burnt offerings just anywhere you like. You may do so only at the place the Lord will choose within one of your tribal territories. There you must offer your burnt offerings and do everything I command you. But you may butcher your animals and eat their meat in any town whenever you want. You may freely eat the animals with which the Lord your God blesses you. All of you, whether ceremonially clean or unclean, may eat that meat, just as you now eat gazelle and deer. But you must not consume the blood. You must pour it out on the ground like water. But you may not eat your offerings in your hometown, neither the tithe of your grain and new wine and olive oil, nor the firstborn of your flocks and herds, nor any offering to fulfill a vow, nor your voluntary offerings, nor your sacred offerings. You must eat these in the presence of the Lord your God at the place he will choose. Eat them there with your children, your servants, and the Levites who live in your towns, celebrating in the presence of the Lord your God in all you do. And be very careful never to neglect the Levites as long as you live in your land. When the Lord your God expands your territory as he has promised, and you have the urge to eat meat, you may freely eat meat whenever you want. It might happen that the designated place of worship, the place the Lord your God chooses for his name to be honored, is a long way from your home. If so, you may butcher any of the cattle, sheep, or goats the Lord has given you, and you may freely eat the meat in your hometown as I have commanded you. Anyone, whether ceremonially clean or unclean, may eat that meat, just as you do now with gazelle and deer. But never consume the blood, for the blood is the life, and you must not consume the lifeblood with the meat. Instead, pour out the blood on the ground like water. Do not consume the blood, so that all may go well with you and your children after you, because you will be doing what pleases the Lord. Take your sacred gifts and your offerings given to fulfill a vow to the place the Lord chooses. You must offer the meat and blood of your burnt offerings on the altar of the Lord your God. The blood of your other sacrifices must be poured out on the altar of the Lord your God, but you may eat the meat. Be careful to obey all my commands so that all will go well with you and your children after you, because you will be doing what is good and pleasing to the Lord your God. When the Lord your God goes ahead of you and destroys the nations and you drive them out and live in their land, do not fall into the trap of following their customs and worshiping their gods. Do not inquire after their gods, saying, How do these nations worship their gods? I want to follow their example. You must not worship the Lord your God the way other nations worship their gods. for they perform for their gods every detestable act that the Lord hates. They even burn their sons and daughters as sacrifices to their gods. So be careful to obey all the commands I give you. You must not add anything to them or subtract anything from them. Job 12:1-15:35. Then Job spoke again. You, Zophar, really know everything, don't you? And when you die, wisdom will die with you. Well, I know a few things myself, and you're no better than I am. Who doesn't know these things you've been saying? Yet my friends laugh at me. I am a man who calls on God and receives an answer. I am a just and blameless man, yet they laugh at me. People who are at ease mock those in trouble. They give a push to people who are stumbling. But even robbers are left in peace, and those who provoke God, and God has them in his power, live in safety. Ask the animals, and they will teach you. Ask the birds of the sky, and they will tell you. Speak to the earth, and it will instruct you. Let the fish of the sea speak to you. They all know that the Lord has done this, for the life of every living thing is in his hand, and the breath of all humanity. Just as the mouth tastes good food, so the ear tests the words it hears. Wisdom belongs to the aged, and understanding to those who have lived many years. But true wisdom and power are with God. Counsel and understanding are his. What he destroys cannot be rebuilt. When he closes in on someone, there is no escape. If he holds back the rain, the earth becomes a desert. If he releases the waters, they flood the earth. Yes, strength and wisdom are with him. Deceivers and deceived are both in his power. He leads counselors away, stripped of good judgment. He drives judges to madness. He removes the royal robe of kings. With ropes around their waist, they are led away. He leads priests away, stripped of status. He overthrows the mighty. He silences the trusted advisor, and he removes the insight of the elders. He pours disgrace upon princes and confiscates weapons from the strong. He floods the darkness with light. He brings light to the deepest gloom. He raises up nations and he destroys them. He makes nations expand and he abandons them. He takes away the understanding of kings and he leaves them wandering in a wasteland without a path. They grope in the darkness without a light. He makes them stagger like drunkards. Look, I have seen many instances such as you describe. I understand what you are saying. I know as much as you do. You are no better than I am. Oh, how I long to speak directly to the Almighty. I want to argue my case with God himself, for you are smearing me with lies. As doctors, you are worthless quacks. Please be quiet. That's the smartest thing you could do. Listen to my charge. Pay attention to my arguments. Are you defending God by means of lies and dishonest arguments? You should be impartial witnesses, but will you slant your testimony in his favor? Will you argue God's case for him? Be careful that he doesn't find out what you are doing. Or do you think you can fool him as easily as you fool people? No, you will be in serious trouble with him if even in your hearts you slant your testimony in his favor. Doesn't his majesty strike terror into your heart? Does not your fear of him seize you? Your statements have about as much value as ashes. Your defense is as fragile as a clay pot. Be silent now and leave me alone. Let me speak, and I will face the consequences. Yes, I will take my life in my own hands and say what I really think. God might kill me, but I cannot wait. I am going to argue my case with him, but this is what will save me. That I am not godless. If I were, I would be thrown from his presence. Listen closely to what I am about to say. Hear me out. I have prepared my case. I will be proved innocent. Who can argue with me over this? If you could prove me wrong, I would remain silent until I die. Oh God, there are two things I beg of you, and I will be able to face you. Remove your hand from me and don't terrify me with your awesome presence. Now summon me, and I will answer, or let me speak to you, and you reply. Tell me, what have I done wrong? Show me my rebellion and my sin. Why do you turn away from me? Why do you consider me your enemy? Would you terrify a leaf that is blown by the wind? Would you chase a dry stalk of grass? You write bitter accusations against me and bring up all the sins of my youth. You put my feet in stocks. You watch all my paths. You trace all my footprints. I waste away like rotting wood, like a moth-eaten coat. How frail is humanity, how short is life, and how full of trouble. Like a flower, we blossom for a moment and then wither. Like the shadow of a passing cloud, we quickly disappear. Must you keep an eye on such a frail creature and demand an accounting from me? Who can create purity in one born impure? No one. You have decided the length of our days. You know how many months we will live, and we are not given a minute longer. So give us a little rest, won't you? Turn away your angry stare. We are like hired hands, so let us finish the task you have given us. If a tree is cut down, there is hope that it will sprout again and grow new branches. Though its roots have grown old in the earth and its stump decays, at the scent of water it may bud and sprout again like a new seedling. But when people die, they lose all strength. They breathe their last, and then where are they? As water evaporates from a lake, and as a river disappears in drought, people lie down and do not rise again. Until the heavens are no more, they will not wake up nor be roused from their sleep. I wish you would hide me with the dead and forget me there until your anger has passed. But mark your calendar to think of me again. If mortals die, can they live again? This thought would give me hope, and through my struggle I would eagerly wait for release. You would call, and I would answer, and you would yearn for me, your handiwork, for then you would count my steps instead of watching for my sins. My sins would be sealed in a pouch, and you would cover over my iniquity. But as mountains fall and crumble, and as rocks fall from a cliff, as water wears away the stones and floods wash away the soil, so you destroy people's hope. You always overpower them, and then they pass from the scene. You disfigure them in death and send them away. They never know if their sons grow up in honor or sink to insignificance. They are absorbed in their own pain and grief. Then Eliphaz the Temanite replied, "You are supposed to be a wise man, and yet you give us all this foolish talk. You are nothing but a windbag. It isn't right to speak so foolishly. What good do such words do? Have you no fear of God, no reverence for him? Your sins are telling your mouth what to say. Your words are based on clever deception. But why should I condemn you? Your own mouth does. Were you the first person ever born? Were you born before the hills were made? Were you listening at God's secret counsel? Do you have a monopoly on wisdom? What do you know that we don't? What do you understand that we don't? On our side are aged, gray-haired men much older than your father. Is God's comfort too little for you? Is his gentle word not enough? What has captured your reason? What has weakened your vision, that you turn against God and say all these evil things? Can a mortal be pure? Can a human be just? Why, God doesn't even trust the angels. Even the heavens cannot be absolutely pure in his sight. How much less pure is a corrupt and sinful person with a thirst for wickedness? If you will listen, I will answer you from my own experience, and it is confirmed by the experience of wise men who have heard the same thing from their fathers, those to whom the land was given long before any foreigners arrived. Wicked people are in pain throughout their lives. They are surrounded by terrors, and even on good days they fear the attack of the destroyer. They dare not go out into the darkness for fear they will be murdered. They wander abroad for bread, saying, "Where is it?" They know their ruin is certain. That dark day terrifies them. They live in distress and anguish, like a king preparing for an attack. For they have clenched their fists against God, defying the Almighty. Holding their strong shields, they defiantly charge against him. These wicked people are fat and rich, but their cities will be ruined. They will live in abandoned houses that are ready to tumble down. They will not continue to be rich. Their wealth will not endure, and their possessions will no longer spread across the horizon. They will not escape the darkness. The flame will burn them up, and the breath of God will destroy everything they have. Let them no longer trust in empty riches. They are only fooling themselves, for emptiness will be their only reward. They will be cut down in the prime of life, and all they counted on will disappear. They will be like a vine whose grapes are harvested before they are ripe. Like an olive tree that sheds its blossoms so the fruit cannot form. For the godless are barren. Their homes, enriched through bribery, will be consumed by fire. They conceive trouble and evil, and their hearts give birth only to deceit. 1 Corinthians 15:29-58. If the dead will not be raised, then what point is there in people being baptized for those who are dead? Why do it unless the dead will someday rise again? And why should we ourselves be continually risking our lives, facing death hour by hour? For I swear, dear brothers and sisters, I face death daily. This is as certain as my pride in what the Lord Jesus Christ has done in you. And what value was there in fighting wild beasts? Those men of Ephesus, if there will be no resurrection from the dead, if there is no resurrection, let's feast and get drunk, for tomorrow we die. Don't be fooled by those who say such things, for bad company corrupts good character. Come to your senses and stop sinning. For to your shame, I say that some of you don't even know God. But someone may ask, how will the dead be raised? What kind of bodies will they have? What a foolish question. When you put a seed into the ground, it doesn't grow into a plant until it dies first. And what you put into the ground is not the plant that will grow, but only a dry little seed of wheat or whatever it is you are planting. Then God gives it a new body, just the kind He wants it to have. A different kind of plant grows from each kind of seed. And just as there are different kinds of seeds and plants, so also there are different kinds of flesh, whether of humans, animals, birds, or fish. There are bodies in the heavens, and there are bodies on earth. The glory of the heavenly bodies is different from the beauty of the earthly bodies. The sun has one kind of glory, while the moon and stars each have another kind, and even the stars differ from each other in their beauty and brightness. It is the same way for the resurrection of the dead. Our earthly bodies, which die and decay, will be different when they are resurrected, for they will never die. Our bodies now disappoint us, but when they are raised, they will be full of glory. They are weak now, but when they are raised, they will be full of power. They are natural human bodies now, but when they are raised, they will be spiritual bodies. For just as there are natural bodies, so also there are spiritual bodies. The scriptures tell us the first man, Adam, became a living person, but the last Adam, that is Christ, is a life-giving spirit. What came first was the natural body, then the spiritual body comes later. Adam, the first man, was made from the dust of the earth, while Christ, the second man, came from heaven. Every human being has an earthly body just like Adam's, but our heavenly bodies will be just like Christ's. Just as we are now like Adam, the man of the earth, so we will someday be like Christ, the man from heaven. What I am saying, dear brothers and sisters, is that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. These perishable bodies of ours are not able to live forever. But let me tell you a wonderful secret God has revealed to us. Not all of us will die, but we will all be transformed. It will happen in a moment, in the blinking of an eye, when the last trumpet is blown. For when the trumpet sounds, the Christians who have died will be raised with transformed bodies, and then we who are living will be transformed so that we will never die. where our perishable earthly bodies must be transformed into heavenly bodies that will never die. When this happens, when our perishable earthly bodies have been transformed into heavenly bodies that will never die, then at last the scriptures will come true. Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O death, where is your sting? For sin is the sting that results in death, and the law gives sin its power. How we can thank God who gives us victory over sin and death through Jesus Christ, our Lord. So, my dear brothers and sisters, be strong and steady, always enthusiastic about the Lord's work, for you know that nothing you do for the Lord is ever useless. Psalm 39:1-13. I said to myself, I will watch what I do and not sin in what I say. I will curb my tongue when the ungodly are around me. But as I stood there in silence, not even speaking of good things, the turmoil within me grew to the bursting point. My thoughts grew hot within me and began to burn, igniting a fire of words. Lord, remind me how brief my time on earth will be. Remind me that my days are numbered, and that my life is fleeing away. My life is no longer than the width of my hand. An entire lifetime is just a moment to you. Human existence is but a breath. We are merely moving shadows, and all our busy rushing ends in nothing. We heap up wealth for someone else to spend. And so, Lord, where do I put my hope? My only hope is in you. Rescue me from my rebellion, for even fools mock me when I rebel. I am silent before you. I won't say a word, for my punishment is from you. Please don't punish me anymore. I am exhausted by the blows from your hand. When you discipline people for their sins, their lives can be crushed like the life of a moth. Human existence is as frail as a breath. Hear my prayer, O Lord. Listen to my cries for help. Don't ignore my tears, for I am your guest, a traveler passing through, as my ancestors were before me. Spare me so I can smile again before I am gone and exist no more. Proverbs 21:30-31. Human plans, no matter how wise or well advised, cannot stand against the Lord. The horses are prepared for battle, but the victory belongs to the Lord. I want to speak to you today from our reading for 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And in this chapter, Paul is addressing a heresy that has come up, that there have been those who have come forth and said, there is no resurrection of the dead. That when you die, that's it. That's the end of life. And Paul is addressing this head on. And he goes on to say, he makes a comparison to a seed, that when the seed is planted in the ground, it dies. And out of that dead seed, a new plant comes forth. He says in verse 36, when you put a seed into the ground, it doesn't grow into a plant unless it dies first. And what you put in the ground is not the plant that will grow, but only a dry little seed of wheat or whatever it is you are planting. Then God gives it a new body, just the kind he wants it to have. So really this whole passage is addressing destiny, purpose, and our earthly life, which will eventually lead to a heavenly life. The seed is our earthly life. And when you think about it, every one of us is like a living, breathing, walking seed. And when we die, that seed goes into the ground, and then a plant comes forth, issues forth out of the ground, out of the soil, and that plant, that new life, is your heavenly body, your heavenly life in heaven. In verse 42, he goes on to say, it is the same way for the resurrection of the dead. Our earthly bodies, which die and decay, will be different when they are resurrected, for they will never die. And when we are raised, we will be full of glory. Our body now is weak, but when we are raised, we will be full of power. We are natural human bodies now, but when we are raised, we will be spiritual bodies. And so, what kind of a seed are you in the process of becoming? When there's different kinds of seeds, there's watermelon seeds and orange seeds and apple seeds and avocado seeds, all different kinds of seeds. What kind of a seed are you becoming? Everything about the life of that plant is embedded in the seed, in the DNA of that seed. And so, depending upon how you are filling up your mind and your heart and your soul with worldly things or with the things of God, if you are eating and consuming nothing but materialistic things, or if you're filling your soul and your spirit with the Word of God and with spending time with Him, that's going to shape the kind of seed that you are. And we don't have to be afraid of the moment of death, because the moment of death, when we come to that time of death, it is the seed that is being sown into the ground and that will be raised into eternal life. When we die, we will immediately be in the presence of the Lord if we are truly born again. He goes on to say about the blessed hope that we have in Christ, that there is a day coming, if you want to call it the rapture, or the taking away, the gathering in. He speaks about it here in verse 51. But let me tell you a wonderful secret God has revealed to us. Not all of us will die, but we will all be transformed. It will happen in a moment, in the blinking of an eye, when the last trumpet is blown. For when the trumpet sounds, the Christians who have died will be raised with transformed bodies. And then we who are living will also be transformed so that we will never die. For our perishable earthly bodies must be transformed into heavenly bodies that will never die. So he's talking about the rapture, that when that happens, those who are dead in Christ will be raised up from the dead. They'll be given a glorified heavenly body. And then we who are alive shall also be transformed, and we will be caught up together with him in the clouds and be with him forever and ever and ever. And so that's an incredible moment in time that is our destiny. It is in our future. It hasn't happened yet, but it is our blessed hope. So I don't know what you're dealing with as you listen. If you're fighting a battle of cancer, if you have a long-term illness, if you have long-term pain, chronic pain of some kind, or whatever you might be dealing with, but this is the blessed hope that there is a day coming when we will all be transformed, and we won't have an earthly body anymore. We'll have a heavenly body, and we shall live together with him forever and ever and ever in eternity in heaven with Jesus. So our time here on this earth is training time. It's preparation time. It's our pre-life. Our real life is coming when we are with Jesus in heaven. And so make your time count. Make every moment and every hour and every day count. It matters how you spend your life, that you keep your focus on Jesus, that you hear his voice, that you follow him and obey him, and that his purpose and his destiny for your life is fulfilled, that you would complete the mission he has given to you. He's given you assignments and tasks, that you would walk in step with him and hear his heartbeat and be led gently by him. Have a blessed day, and we'll see you tomorrow. Shalom.
Yivarechah Adonai v'yishmerechah. Yahweh Adonai Panavilaka Vikuneka Yisa Adonai Panav Hileka Vayasein Leka Leka Shalom.
The Aaronic Blessing from Numbers chapter 6, 24 to 26. Adonai bless you and keep you. Adonai make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. Adonai lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.